So this prayer that we are praying throughout this Advent season, come, Lord Jesus, come. That is a prayer that is an ancient prayer. Christians have been praying that prayer from our beginning. Won't interrupt. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We've prayed it in times of sadness and grief, times when we can't see a way through the storm. We've prayed it when the world around us turns dark and all that we see is violence or death, hate, those times when evil is winning the day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We've prayed it for our own sake, and we've prayed it for the sake of others. We've prayed it when we are neck deep in troubles of our own making. If anybody can relate to that, I don't know. And we've prayed it when the world has spun out of our grasping efforts to make it what we think it should be. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And that prayer is what this season of Advent is all about. So Advent is not about getting ready for Christmas and getting all your shopping done. Advent is about leaning in. And we do look back to the first time that God came to us, but we do that because it reminds us of whose we are. It helps us to understand who God is. So this season is meant to create a rhythm. It's a reminder for Christians around the world to lean in, to remember our hope that Jesus is coming to make all things new, to remember that we are called to be a people who are watching and waiting for our King to return. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, my guess, if you are anything like me, that as you start to lean in, pay attention, you might begin to notice that you are filled with a whole lot of things that crowd out God's presence, make it hard for you and I to remember whose we are, make it hard for us to recognize our hope. My mind gets cluttered with, first of all, my to-do list, all the things that I want to get done. And then all the things that I want in this world and all the people that I'm worried about. The concerns about where this world is going and what kind of future am I building for my children? What kind of future is there going to be for my children? And the list goes on until there's this big jumble of thoughts and responsibilities and worries and hopes somewhere in there. And it's not all bad, because that means that we are connected to the world. We're connected to people. And that's a good thing. God has given us this world to take care of and people in our lives to love and to care for. But from time to time, we need to stop. We need to clear away the clutter and silence the distractions that would keep us from hearing the still small voice of God. So I think maybe that it's providence, it's God at work that brings this season of leaning in, the season of Advent, the season of watching and waiting for God at a time when the world around us is going on hyperdrive, right? Do you ever notice that? If life was busy and crammed before the holidays, then there is a whirlwind waiting for you, right? When you turn the corner and come into November, and it's not slowing down. If sadness or loneliness hung around the corners of your life, they come in waves when the holidays hit, don't they? Everything gets amplified this time of year. So isn't it just like God to hold out a different way of being to us, right when the world around us is descending into this holiday madness? There's a different way. And if you're feeling pressed and pulled already weighed down in your spirit, and this sounds like, oh no, here's another thing I got to do better at. The good news is that this other way requires nothing more of you than to pay attention. That's it. In the chaos or in the stillness, if you get some of that, just pay attention. Watch and wait for God as if you expect God to show up. So during this series, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. And we talk about that. And we are looking for ways that God breaks into our world, that God breaks into our hearts. And as we lean in and we pay attention, what are we going to see? What does that look like? So today, we're talking about when God breaks in, sometimes with just a twinkle, just a whisper of hope. When God holds out hope. So Rakita read us the story of Zechariah. And Zechariah was a God follower. He was a priest. And his prayers had gone unanswered for a really long time. He had given up hope that he would ever have a son. And that's when God broke in. So there he is going through all of his priestly duties. And suddenly there's this messenger from God in front of him, standing in front of him. And before Zechariah can gather himself, the angel has a message for him, and the angel's talking. And there's this messenger from God. And so the angel is saying, God is going to give you a son that he had hoped for and prayed for so long. Is it safe to hope that that could be true? Could he wake up that hope again? And the messenger continues, you will name him John, and he will prepare his people for the Lord to come. And it's not surprising that Zechariah totally misses the big picture in all of this. There is a messenger from God standing in front of him, right? And this messenger from God has just told him that God is coming to you. And Zechariah say, wait, how can this be? How am I going to know for sure that this is going to happen? This seems strange. But he had made peace with not having children long ago. He'd made peace with that. So it would be crazy to start to hope again now, right? But the angel breaks into his racing thoughts that are saying, this is crazy and this can't be happening. And the angel says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you are going to be silent and not able to speak until this day happens. That's right, Ricky, that did happen. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. And with that, the messenger from God leaves, and Zechariah is left to process all of this in silence. It's quite a story, isn't it? And I don't know if you've thought of this as you listen to the story, but I find myself wondering, what did he do wrong? That's pretty big news. That's kind of crazy. Somewhere along the way, Raya had to make peace with not getting what his heart desired. He had to make peace with that. But I wonder if in the process, it also meant that he gave up on God. He stopped expecting God to show up. He stopped looking to God for his help. I think that somewhere along the way, when he was hoping, his focus shifted away from who his hope was in, and it shifted towards what he wanted. And so when God broke into his world, Zechariah didn't recognize that this messenger from God could be the answer to his hope. And maybe by causing Zechariah to be unable to speak for so long, Gabriel was giving Zechariah a chance to be still, to be quiet, to wait and watch God come through for him. The thing about hope is that it doesn't define for God how God will come through for us. And we have to be careful about that. Because when we find ourselves doing that, that's a good sign that our focus has shifted away from God and towards what we want, what we think is best. I've got it figured out, God. Just do this. Just make it happen. It's going to be great. Nobody's ever done that, right? And when our focus shifts, what do we start to see? We get to be overwhelmed by challenges that are in front of us. We start to focus on the things that are threatening us, the things that we don't have, the things that we want. We stop paying attention and we stop watching and we stop expecting God to show up. And when our focus shifts and we see those things, we see the problems, we start to interpret everything that happens based on our feelings, based on feeling like we're vulnerable and we're at risk and we're in need and we don't have what we want that we've now convinced ourselves we need. And before we know it, we've completely forgotten that God is there, that God has not left us, that God is working in every situation to bring hope out of despair. It just may not come in the way or a time that we would expect. And that's why not giving up on looking for God, on expecting God to show up, is so important, because we don't want to when God begins to break in. Recognize when our answer to our hope comes. So if you know me very well, you know that I can be, I'm impatient with things like that, particularly when it comes to trusting what I want to God or trusting things to just work out, because I am a planner. And so if I get just the whiff of possibility out there, it doesn't even have to be something that is really that monumentous, but I want to plan every detail out. I'm ready to jump into it. And it means that my focus goes really quickly to the what, to working out all the details myself. And I have a hard time trusting and waiting on the who, that God will show up. And before I know it, in all of my planning, I have defined for God the parameters of how God can come through for me. I've told God how I will be looking for God to act. I've made my list of what I'm expecting, and now I'm looking for it. And if I'm not careful, I will completely miss God at work. Or I will set myself up to be disappointed when God comes through for me. It's easy to connect wishful thinking and hope. So let's be careful with that. Wishful thinking says, I want this so badly. It has to come true. It has to happen. Hope says, I know that God will show up, and somehow all will be well. Christian hope is stubborn. It refuses to be bogged down by what is seen, by circumstances. It stubbornly trusts God to come through somehow. It defiantly believes the character of God over everything else it sees in the world. It lets everything else fade to the background because I know who God is. Our hope is not based on what we want or what we wish for or how good we are at plotting to make it happen. It is based on something far more certain and reliable. Our hope is in a God a God who loves to come through in impossible situations, a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. Our God is a God of powerful love and extravagant joy. Our God is a righteous God who is always about doing what is right. Our hope comes from this God. But our hope cannot define for God how God will come through. Our hope looks for God because we know that God will come through somehow. It's in God's presence, God's coming to us, God's showing up, that our hope is realized. That's why we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." That's why Christians have prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," year after year, through good times and very bad times. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and all will be well. Come and new possibilities will open up. Come and right this wrong. Come and I will not be alone. Come, Lord Jesus, come. This kind of hope is something that God grows in us. It's not something we make. It's something that happens as we get to know God. As we see God come through for us in different and sometimes unexpected ways. So we begin to see that our way was not the best way after all. The Apostle Paul, a leader in the early church, wrote about this Christian hope. And he said, "All of creation groans, like a woman in labor, in pain and longing for God to come, for God to redeem, to save, to heal, to restore this world and us." And that is the ultimate Christian hope. Come what may, falls us, all will be well in the end when we are restored to God. So whatever happens, we know the end of our story. It ends in hope and joy and peace and love. It ends with the God who loves us, finally healing and restoring us and this beautiful, broken world. That stubborn hope is what we hold on to when all is not well. When all that we long for is impossibly far off, we remember who God is, and we hope in what we cannot see. We wait for God. And as we wait for God, we begin to look for God. We start to notice God at work more and more. We start to see all the ways that God is present, that God is there working to bring good out of bad, to bring hope out of despair, to bring peace out of conflict. We have this tendency to hold out on hope until we start to see the possibility on the horizon. We don't want to jump in and get excited just yet, right? Until we see it start to happen. And in that way, we are like Zechariah. We want some guarantee, some proof. We want to see it happening, and then we'll let hope take root. But God calls us to hope in what we cannot see. God calls us to hope in what we do not have yet. Because our hope is not based on something we already have or on the circumstances that we see around us. Our hope is in God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. May this Advent season be a time where we lean in. May we pay attention and watch for God. And may we pray with renewed and confident hope. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.